Jimmy, do you want a turkey almond salad today?
Yes, I do. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Jimmy!
Yes, I'm right here. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Paid Search Podcast, 173rd episode. My name is Jason Rothman. As always, I'm joined by the great Chris Schaefer. Chris, you're doing good today. You're just doing good. So how's it going?
It is a way better day than it started off. It's a great day. I'm not talking about the weather. This is actually a personal reflection on me. It's a great day. Jason, I'm not avoiding any, you know, emotional connection here. I'm actually speaking from my heart. It's a good day. So
can I speak from my heart?
Please.
I put a lot into that forum, forum.paidsearchpodcast.com.
Oh no.
And I've got 102 friends on there as members, but one of them sucks. And you suck, Chris. Where are you? We're all wondering where you are. We got a lot of great conversation and knowledge on there, and I don't see you on there.
I know.
Where are you?
Well, I don't really have an answer. I just don't go. I did it one week. Remember, I wrote the note. Look. Here we go again. Look, I'm going to write a note. Check forum, just like before. You know, I wrote the note before, and I'll do it again. Here we go. Check forum.
Hey, do me a favor so it connects at a deeper level. Mm-hmm. Instead of check forum, can you write this note?
Okay.
Be a good podcast partner.
Okay, let me.
Chris, I'm going to ask you something. Do I not bring home the bacon for you?
Oh, Jason, you bring home the entire pig. Absolutely.
All right. Thank you. But then what do you do for me?
Well, I provide the eye candy, I thought is what we had established. I'm here to provide for the ladies. That's what I'm here for, that listen on audio so they can imagine.
You really might be all looks. Like, is there anything between those two ears? Or your whole life, have people just made it easy for you because they like to look at you?
My beauty has made life incredibly easy.
Let me ask you a question. When you were a freshman in high school, why did a junior date you? How did you do that?
I didn't question it. I just, this is what happens.
And this is the way it is for everybody, huh? Yeah. That's what you thought.
She was wonderful. Yes. She was very grown up and, you know, it was so different from my young classmates. She was very cool.
I had a guy in my high school who was a year younger who dated a girl in my grade. I didn't like him very much.
No.
I resented him.
Oh, yeah.
And I still do to this day. I still do to this day. And I know where he works and I know what he does with his life. And if he ever needed help or anything, and I was in a position to help him, like if I worked at a company and we were deciding to hire him or not, and he was totally qualified and everything was perfect about him, and he would help the company make money and help me make more money, mm-hmm. I would make sure he did not get hired. I would penalize him for what he did to me in 12th grade.
Well,
I haven't let that go. So, Chris. Okay, buddy, we are doing a Q&A today, I think. Are we doing a Q&A?
Yeah,
we're doing a Q&A. Why don't you kick us up with Optio, and then I'll finish up with Directive, and then we'll read a review, and we'll get into the Q&A.
All right, guys, you heard the man. Let's talk about a great software designed to alert you, to tell you things, because you need a nap. You need to take a break every now and then, and you can't always check your account. Optio, OPTEO.com/PSP, will give you alerts in your email. It will tell you ideas. You're coming back fresh. It's 7 a.m. You're sitting down at your desk. You don't know what to do. You don't know how to handle today's crash on your conversion metrics. What do? Optio has your back. They have a great interface, lots of colors, charts, graphs, ups and downs, arrows are pointing everywhere. It's really cool. It's completely different from the Google Ads interface. You'll like it. Give it a 6-week extended trial, exclusively available for the PSP listeners. So you go at opteo.com/PSP. Tell them in the chat box, say, hey, I'm a PSP listener. Can I get a 6-week trial for free? They'll say, absolutely. Try it out. You'll like it.
Thank you, Chris. And I want to thank Directive Consulting. Directive Consulting is the go-to B2B search engine marketing agency. You deserve more. One of the things I know about Google Ads is that every single campaign is different. Every industry is different. Everything is different. So what a guy who sits in his 15,000 square foot prison cell house does for a moving company that spends $1,000 a month on Google is totally different than what an agency does for an enterprise business-to-business client with a large budget, with a need to get a ton of leads, quality leads, and options to go on all the different platforms, including SEO, pay-per-click, social media, landing pages, analytics, digital PR. You have a need for all those services. You got to figure out which one is going to get your enterprise campaign the kind of leads you need, the quality, and then be able to scale it. That's what Directive does. You can go to their website. You can see the proof. Look at their case studies. Look at the brands they've worked with. Look at their service list. It's just all inclusive. And the most important thing on their website, get a free custom proposal at directiveconsulting.com. Directiveconsulting.com. Get a free custom proposal. Chris, we have a review of the week, and it comes from A Land Down Under.
Oh, yes. Read it with the accent, please. Will you? It's my favorite.
You know what? I can't. I wish I could. I can't. I can't do it justice. I'm going to make them sound sillier than they sound. I'm just not going to do it justice. Aww. I have not heard an Australian accent in a long time, so I'm going to keep it American. But you know what? I give them a little grief about their accent, but man, do they love to make fun of our accents. Yeah. I love when New Zealand people, I saw one of them this week online, Australian people, when they make fun of like a dude, man, American accent. This is the way they think we sound. Bro. It's like, can you imagine? Every time you see the most important country in the world, every time you see the most successful country in the world, and they're in the media, they're in the movies and all that, mm-hmm. and they sound like this, and they're talking like this, and you're wondering, how are these people so successful? They sound like idiots. If this is the way we really sound. But I don't think we really sound like that. I think they're messing with us. But this review comes from, if you saw his name, that's what you would say too. It's like S-H-S-J-J-S-B. Okay. It's not a real name. But they left a review on Apple Podcast, Australia, 5 stars, but it's a very toned down review. And I appreciate the straight to the point information. Solid information is the title of the review. It's really difficult to find quality information in this area. Blogs are fine, but you know what you really need is an indication.
I knew you were going
to
do it.
Come out a little bit. What you really need is an indication of reasoning and debate, which comes from a 2-person podcast. Great job, guys. Well, thank you. Thank you very much for that review. We love our 5-star reviews.
Blimey.
And we want more reviews. When we get to 250, I will stop asking for them. We are at about 210, I think, on Apple Podcasts in America, and we need them all around the world. So thank you for leaving us those reviews. Do it. Because it helps grow the show. So, Chris, man, we're talking about, what are we talking about? We're talking about
everything.
Q&As, whatever people want to talk about. So, Chris, do me a favor before we jump into this pool of hot, steamy Q&A love together and tell people how they can submit their questions to the Paid Search Podcast.
Thank you, Jason. Absolutely. So, you are about to embark in a sacred journey to hear people who are out there outside of our podcast ask questions to the 2 people that are here inside the podcast. If you want to be part of that conversation, please go to paidsearchpodcast.com. Click on the Ask Us a Question button. Jason, is it a contact button? Ask Us a Question? I don't know. It's at the top, and it's very obvious.
Contact.
I knew it was contact or ask or something. So go to the contact, fill that out, and quick note here, we do have a lot of questions and we want to get to as many people as we can. We are not going to try and do everybody today, so please be patient. We appreciate all
because
the questions.
Because we're launching a second show each week that's only for Q&As. Are we doing that, Chris? Should we out it? Should we let them know?
Did we even talk? Okay. So please be patient if you don't hear your question. We definitely read all of them and we will answer them as they come in. All right. So I've got the first one to read. Jason, you're up in the hot seat first. Let's go. First question is from Jordan.
Man, my shoulders hurt because I really do have to carry the weight of this podcast.
Gotta be kidding me.
That's one way to contact us. I gotta be kidding you. You gotta be kidding me. That's one way to contact us. We also want voicemails because we love the voicemails. I love the voicemails.
The percentage of voicemails to filled out contact forms is negligible.
Oh, is it lower? Is it? Oh, really? Oh, really? Is that maybe because you don't mention it on the show?
It's on our Twitter. Jeez, everyone goes to our Twitter. So everyone knows. First question is from
214-810-1355. Is this live radio? So I'm going to repeat this because you can't hit the back 15 second button.
Do not call 214. Episode is recorded. Do not call
810-1355.
See,
leave us your voicemails.
We have a lot of international visitors or listeners, so not everyone can just call that number. So I feel like it's much more inclusive to just tell them to go to the website. You know, I'm just trying to be inclusive, Jason. All right. Jordan from Patreon, which is not a country or a city. That is an exclusive club that Jordan is a part of. You can see more of that at paidsearchpodcast.com. Look for the link. All right. Jordan says, I was listening to one of your podcasts from November, and you were discussing these new audience groups, homeowner status, education level, parenthood. Definitely. I know what you're talking about. This is rather old, but it's certainly new in the scheme of things when you compare what's been going on Google Ads. So he continues to say, how accurate are these groupings? We all know a lot of these in-market and similar audiences can be hazy at best. So is the information determining these groups really all that accurate? Would love to hear your experience on this and whether you have successfully implemented audiences into your more specifically targeted campaigns. Jason, what do you got to say for Jordan?
We're going to make Jordan's day. So Jordan says, we all know a lot of these in-market and similar audiences are hazy at best. But then he goes on to say, but how accurate are they really? So my only bone to pick is, how do we know they're hazy? We don't know anything. That's what I'm going to say. Is that fair to say, Chris?
Yeah.
We don't know if they're hazy. We don't know if they're accurate. We don't know if they're not accurate. What I can tell you is the way to get the job done, targeting versus observation. And as I said at the top of the show, I carry more weight on the show. I bring home more bacon. I do more work. So I'm going to hand off my answer to Chris at this point, and he's going to tell everybody about targeting versus observation at the audience level. Okay. And I'm going to go refill my Diet Coke. So you tell him, Chris.
Okay. Well, thank you,
Jason.
You'll
do great, buddy.
Thanks.
Try hard.
Thanks, Dad. All right. So good question. And Jason's right. It is very hazy. And when it comes down to it, I would absolutely assign hazy, quote unquote, to these audiences. When it says homeowner status, it's going to be determined on a wide variety of factors. And it's not just specifically that they're a homeowner. There's no way that Google can know that for sure because homeowner can change. Someone can go from apartment to homeowner and back and forth. I mean, who knows? So the fact is, when it comes down to it, use optimization, the technique of observation and targeting. Observation is when you get the data information and you can then see what happens in the account. You can see if that specific audience is performing better. Are you getting more conversions? Are you getting less conversions? Is it a higher cost per conversion? At the observation level, it just gives you the data. If you're doing a targeted audience, now, this is much more exclusive, and I would never recommend you start off a campaign with no data at the targeted level because you immediately limit your campaign to a fraction of what you would potentially get. If you had moving services near me as a keyword and then you targeted only homeowners, you're going to wonder why your CPC and your impression volume your impression volume goes down, your CPC goes way up because the number of people that you can serve that ad to has been cut in a tenth. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's tremendous volume less than what you would get before. So on the safe side, start with observation and optimize based on increasing or lowering the bids. That's what I'm going to say.
Chris, great answer. And do you agree with that, that we really, as users, really have no clue where this data comes from, how accurate it is or not, but it's cool that we have it at our fingertips, so we should try it observation level. Isn't that like the only answer?
Yeah. Yeah. I think if these names were more correct, they would say homeowner, like at the end, you know, like every single one is
homeowner
like
question mark.
Parenthood.
Well, no. So now you're making a judgment call. So you are saying you don't think they're 100% accurate.
No, not because here's okay. What we consider accurate.
Okay.
Think about the things that we consider accurate. When we talk about Google Ads, we talk about the position of a person. Terms. We talk about the time of day. We talk about search terms. Like these we know are very close to factual, especially search terms. We know they're 100% factual because that's what they typed. And that's how the system works. So location is very precise.
I'll give you a great example. What if a realtor is going to a ton of different websites with analytics code on them or whatever about home ownership and Zillow and all that. And then what if they're doing a bunch of Google searches about homes for sale in this zip code, homes for sale in that city, and they're doing it all day long. They look like a person that's selling their house. Your ad's going to show up to them. You're going to bid more when they search if you have an adjustment on there. But they're not in the market for a home. They're just a realtor.
Yeah. They could even be an apartment. They could live in an apartment and be a realtor and trigger
exactly,
for that audience. Yeah. So yeah, that's a good point.
So yeah, so I think we're both agreeing it's not 100%. We don't think that would be realistic, but in terms of how good it is, how much you should adjust your bids on them, observe it first and then go from there.
Yeah, start with small increments. I would say 10%, 15%. Start slow and see how it moves and changes.
Well, someone's going to ask, should I observe and do a bid adjustment of 15%? Is that possible? If you do a bid adjustment, is it targeting? I'm not really sure.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure you can still do observation.
Yeah, you can do observation and do a bid adjustment with observation.
Oh, well then here's the question. I would say if you can do that, you don't need to start that small because you can monitor things. You're observing. And if the data doesn't look good after a few days.
I agree.
I'm more for bidding, like making big adjustments that you can control. Getting a yes or no on your question and then adjusting quickly because it's under your control. But you're right. If you got a lot of things on your plate and you know you're not going to check that for another month because you're running your business, you shouldn't do something crazy.
That's what I get scared about.
It's different because I'm in accounts every day. You know what I mean?
That's the difference because I don't know, what Jordan's doing. Maybe he checks it, once every month, once every 2 weeks. Like it's very easy to forget that you made a 50% bid adjustment at devices, at location, and audiences. And now you come back 2 weeks later, you're like, oh my gosh, I'm spending $35 per click. How did this happen? I only have $2 at the keyword level. That's the kind of thing that can get you in trouble.
Exactly. Next question comes from Nancy from Atlanta. Would you share your manager checklist? No.
Okay, next question.
But I will if you go to YouTube and you look up Ultimate Google Ads or Ultimate AdWords Management System or Checklist, you'll see our video. And if I could just get 3 cents from you for that video ad view, you'll get it all there. Okay, so here's the deal, Chris. People ask us about this checklist all the time. And I'm sorry to disappoint the world, but there's no mystery. I mean, we've talked about it in that episode, Ultimate Google Ads Management Guide or Checklist, something like that, Ultimate AdWords at the time. And it's pretty simple, like check your search terms, check your bids, check for problem keywords, adjust your bids. Oh, you guys do automated, so throw out the whole checklist. So have fun, everybody. But if you're doing manual, that's the stuff I do. I mean, we put it out there. I think everyone knows we put it out there. And I think the interesting thing, Chris, is people still think we're holding something back. Mm-hmm. What's in your wallet? What's in your pants? Well, I forget what the phrase is.
Yeah, it's pants.
Are you holding something back on? Is it pants? It's you think pants. That multi-billion dollar company is advertising what's in your pants as their motto?
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, okay. That's how you get to be a $1 billion company. Depends what industry. Chris, do you think my hypothesis, Rachel, clean that up and edit, hypothesis, I know how to say that word.
Yeah.
Do you think my, Rachel, put in yourself going, hypothesis. That'd be great. That'd be pretty funny. She just said hypothesis. And she said it correctly because I can't say it correctly. Feel free, Rachel, if you want to do that, you do it.
Do it.
Chris, do you think my
hypothesis
is correct that people know what we've put out there about our checklist and they still keep asking because they think it can't be that simple? Do you think that is correct?
Yeah, I think so. I think they're so conditioned to think that if you want the real information, you have to pay for it. I think that people assume because we talk about it that there's something else that's going on. But in reality, the real hard part, the real secret is how much time it does take. Like, you can't just pop in, look at things, and make a decision. You really have to comprehend what you're looking at. That's the secret that we don't talk about, is basically the time.
Yeah, well, how do you check search terms? How do you check ad copy? How do you check keyword, problem keywords? I mean, we talk about it. We try to help people, but I think a better way to phrase it is, what's difficult is getting the experience to actually do those things at the level
exactly
we do. But you just keep trying. So, Chris, interesting, on YouTube, I typed in ultimate ADW and the predictive search prediction thing popped up, ultimate AdWords management checklist.
Boom.
So it is actually a very popular episode. Nancy, if you go to YouTube and you search ultimate AdWords management checklist, it's the paid search podcast from 2 years ago. The ultimate AdWords management system. I'm going to take a cue from the crowd. I think I'm going to change that name of the episode today to the ultimate AdWords management checklist. And I'm going to clickbait on these fools and get some more views for
us. Okay. So, Nancy, I do have a quick, I recently was doing some consulting with someone, which I do on the side. I have a quick list of like 8 items that I came up with just this week that was good for a person that had a specific issue with this. And it's very quick. Okay. He was overwhelmed with data. He was looking at a brand new account. It's just a mess. There's just stuff all over the place. There's broad keywords everywhere. He didn't know where to start, which I find this is the big issue. People are like, I don't even know where to look. Every time I look at it, I get frustrated. If that's your problem, this is how I would approach it. I told him, number one, look at 1 day of data. Okay. So if you check it every day, look at 1 day of data. So look at yesterday. Okay. Pick one network. In this case, we'll say search. Okay. Now look at the search terms for all of your search campaigns. Pure search term list. Okay. Now look for red flags. Look for a keyword that doesn't belong, or something that's overspending, or something that's getting a lot but no conversions, or something that's just absolutely outside the topic of what you want to bring in. Okay. Make a decision about what you want to change. Should you block it? Should you look at the keyword itself to figure out where it's coming from? If you're unsure about the keyword, look back at the previous 30 days. Okay. Previous 30 days. So now you have some qualitative information to make a decision about what that keyword's been doing. Maybe it's just a bad week. Maybe it's a bad day. You know, don't make a bad decision just on 1 day of bad data. Okay. When you're trying to decide what to do with the keyword, I have 4 questions to ask. Is the keyword converting? Number 2, what search terms from that keyword are converting? Number 3, if the keyword is not converting, is the traffic at least good or is it targeted? Conversions don't mean that you should always make a decision of turning it off if it's not getting. Sometimes it's just about the traffic quality. And then number 4, finally, after you ask those questions, make a decision about turning the keyword on or off, or bidding it up, bidding it down, or replacing it. There you go. A very easy step-by-step process on a daily basis that won't overwhelm you. So
you can't go wrong with search terms. Because even if you're overbidding by 50, 60%, that's still better advertising than any kind of anything else, because search terms are just beautiful.
It's just, it's straightforward data. All right. Now I just realized this next question is from Nancy from Atlanta, Georgia. I assume it's the same Nancy. I didn't realize that.
I don't assume that.
New Nancy.
Yeah. Give them both questions. Yeah. Let's do it. Let's double up.
I have a restaurant, a wood-fired pizza restaurant, that wants to promote their catering service. The problem is that all of the party, event, lunch, dinner, pizza, catering keywords have 0 to 10 searches per month. Jason, this one's yours. If you didn't read the question ahead of time, I can't help you. What's your answer?
No, it's just...
help her. Nancy needs help.
Man. All right.
Don't Google it. You can't Google
you
it.
Right now. You it's need too help. Late. I'm gonna have to clean that. All right.
Do you not have an answer?
Talk after the show. No, it's not about that. Okay. I have a restaurant, Wood Fired Pizza, that wants to promote catering. The problem is party lunch pizza catering, 0 to 10 searches a month. No, they don't. I'm so sick. And that's an honest throw, Chris. What is that?
What? Don't what throw that. No.
Chris, I'm so sick of. I got to be honest. I'm so sick of people giving up before they started because of the keyword planner, right?
Right.
Is that what the problem is? Is that the problem?
I don't know. We don't know. I assume she put the keywords
No, you do know that's a problem. You do know that's a problem. When people report back that searches we know are happening to some extent, mm-hmm. it's and people are going 0, 10, 10, 20, 10 a month, whatever, that's keyword planner stuff. Guess how many times I go into the keyword planner a year to make decisions about what keywords I target?
I want to know. How much has it changed?
Probably for many, many accounts, to pay for a moat, which we are building because I love that idea, that inspiration. To pay for the moat. And again, this is a person that's on many Google Ads accounts every single day. I'm not going to say zero because yes, I go into the tool. Probably one or two times a month.
Yeah.
One sure. or two.
Yeah.
At the most.
Rarely.
So here's the thing. Two things. Number one, I don't buy it. I don't buy the keyword tool totally. So if they're saying you put in a beautiful keyword like pizza catering or catering companies near me.
Lunch catering.
And that's zero searches a month. Even if it's a small. Well, the thing is, okay, so maybe that's a problem. Don't think about lunch, dinner, pizza. Or think about pizza because you guys sell pizza. But lunch and dinner, what other kind of catering are you going to do? So you have to get into the search user's head. So if I'm a search user and my boss told me, hey, we have an event coming up next month, company meeting, we need a catering company. That's what he said to her mm-hmm. or him, mm-hmm. the person he's telling to do the search. The odds are they're not going to go to Google and go, I need a catering company for lunch. No, they're going to go catering companies Dallas.
Yeah,
catering companies. You have to think like a search user, and we're all turning into robots because suggestive searches, you type in catering, and then it pops up catering companies, and you're like, oh, thank you, Google. That's what I wanted. And then you click on it. And then people who targeted not lunch catering companies, exact match, but people who targeted catering companies phrase, hmm. catering companies broad match modified with low bids, and they're going to try it out and see if they can get some volume that way. You're going to show up for it. So the first thing is, before you even start, don't lock down your keywords too much. Someone searching catering companies near me, catering companies, they very much most likely need a catering company for lunch or dinner. So don't worry about lunch or dinner keywords too much. So don't lock yourself down too much when you're using the keyword planner. But the other thing is don't rule stuff out until you actually start running. So yes, if something looks low volume in the keyword planner, it could be low volume when you start running. But what you can't do in the keyword planner is replicate all the searches you're going to be able to show up on with your phrase match keywords, with your broad match modified keywords. If you try pure broad match like a pro, if you have to go there, you're not going to be able to know all the searches you can show up on. You're not going to see the search terms that come in from your broad match modified, from your pure broad match like a pro that you only run for a couple weeks to get search term data. You're not going to know what those search terms are before you actually see them. So don't rule things out. I think the biggest thing is to just get started. And we need to do some episodes about that, Chris, about how to just get started quickly. So then you're not worried about the keyword planner and you're not putting the wrong keywords in the keyword planner and overly limiting yourself. Chris, this hits a sore spot for me with the keyword planner shutting down campaigns. But do you think I'm on to something here?
Yeah, I think so. I think for super obvious services that people need, I think when it comes down to it, it's your geographic targeting, it's your keywords, it's your bid, it's something else in the campaign, because catering is a common thing and there should be plenty of traffic for it. So I would say it's more of an issue of your targeting more so than problems with the keyword itself.
Run the word catering phrase match and then look at your search terms for the first week. They're going to be horrible. Boom. catering jobs near me, caterers that are hiring. Okay, you catch those high volume bad searches that come in, you add negatives for them. How to start a company, jobs, hiring, all that kind of stuff. Block it out, and then you'll probably show up on a bunch of great catering searches. So there's potential to catering for sure.
All right, Jason, I've got another question for you. This one is from Brandon from Royal Oak, Michigan. Sounds like a very nice place. Sounds very woody. All right, Brandon says, "Hey guys, just started listening to your podcast and have really enjoyed it. Thanks for the knowledge. My question is regarding keywords and how to effectively use them. How does having the same...
Use them effectively.
That's true. Effectively, that's the key word.
I just answered this question. How do you use them effectively? You effectively use them.
How does having the same broad match keyword and exact match keyword affect a campaign? For instance, and this is such a specific... I think I probably picked this one because of his example. The example is video game tournaments, and that's broad match. The other option is video game tournaments, exact match. Of course, I think he knows how those keywords work and the difference between them. He wants to know, how does having the same keyword affect a campaign?
Same keyword, different match types.
Yeah.
And then he says he goes to YouTube and does not see any videos about keywords. So what I did is I went to paidsearchpodcast.com, went to the archive page, ended up at store.paidsearchpodcast.com. I'm going to search for match. Oh, okay. Episode number 3 for $2.99, explaining the keyword match types.
There you go.
That would be a good episode to purchase and listen to. And you can do it all at store.paidsearchpodcast.com. So, Chris, exact match and broad match. Well, the way they're going to affect things is quite a bit if you do.
Yeah.
You do video game tournaments, exact match, you're going to show up on thousands of different searches that have nothing to do with video game tournaments, exact match, because a similar match types. I'm so sick of that similar meaning.
Right. Oh, you said, well, I think you said it backwards.
I'm just kidding.
No, I didn't.
Video game listen tournament. To the joke, Chris. Listen to the joke.
Oh,
it's a joke for
it's
AdWords
an exact
people. Similar meaning is getting so loose that we can't
gotcha.
Even trust.
Exact doesn't mean exact.
Exact match at this point.
I'm sorry. I ruined the joke.
Do you do this with all jokes or jokes that are made for industries that you focus on all week long and you should get the joke better than anybody on the planet?
Only your jokes. I only ruin your jokes.
Okay. Good to know. Okay. Good to know. So video game tournaments, exact match, Brandon, you're going to show up on the search video game tournaments. And that's all you're going to show up on if this is 2004. But it's 2019. And Google has been getting looser and looser with the meaning of exact match because of a term similar meaning. And what they're going to tell you is, okay, your keyword is video game tournaments, plural, exact match. And if someone does a search, video game tournament, singular, you would want to show up on that as well. And I would agree. That's reasonable. But it could also mean you show up on a search like, video game, am I stretching here, Chris? Video game competition?
No, that sounds...
We don't really know. You're going to have to see what you show up on. So, Brandon, the point is that video game tournaments exact match means you're supposed to only show up on the search video game tournaments, that exact search. But over time, Google has made the meaning of exact match a little looser. There's pros and cons to that argument. However, there's really no argument because that's what they're doing. So you just have to understand that. You will show up on video game tournaments, that exact search, but also some very similar searches that seem pretty much like someone searching video game tournaments. However, look at your search terms for that one keyword and see what you do end up showing up on. Now, going in the totally opposite direction, video game tournaments, pure broad match. So you're asking me what you could show up on, and I'm going to say the word anything. There are so many searches that a three-word video game tournaments broad match, pure broad match keyword can show up on. That's the difference. The difference is going to be what you show up on. So if you're getting at, oh, should I run them both? Yes, you can run them both. There's no down. Can I say this, Chris?
Yeah.
There's no downside to that. If they're in the same ad group, the same campaign, they're not going to compete with each other.
Right. I think so.
To our knowledge, you're not really going to, like, I don't worry about that. even if it's in different ad groups, if it's in the same campaign, I'm not worried.
I think people who are asking the question, am I competing with myself if I put a broad match, a pure broad match next to an exact match, I think they're asking the wrong question. The question that they should be asking is, how does it affect the campaign metrics itself? And the fact is, assuming you do automated bidding, it's going to affect the fact that the video game tournaments probably isn't going to get anything. And you're going to get a whole lot of all over the place with the video game tournaments broad.
Dude, that's why this is a great podcast, because we both come at things in a different direction. So what I was getting at, just to wrap up what I was saying, search terms, video game tournaments, pure broad match, you can show up on a ton of stuff and you got to be very careful. You're going to show up on things like arcades near me. Yeah. What was the first video game? How big is Mario's? Now, did Luigi ever? No, you're going to show up on a ton of different stuff. But you'll also show up on some relevant stuff like video game tournaments. You could show up on that. Now, that's where my head went to search terms. But Chris, your head went to which keyword's going to get the clicks and if it's on automated bidding. And can you explain that? Because that's so genius. That's a totally different direction, but it's a totally different concern. Chris, I'm not being facetious at all. I'm being legit. I was focused on search terms. But which keyword gets clicks is a totally another issue that comes up from running two different keywords with totally different matchups like that with automated bidding. So please expand on that. I'm being serious. That was a great point.
I think exactly what Brandon said in his question is, how does it affect a campaign? And I think the answer that I would say is, it affects the fact that your search impression share will never be what you would hope it to be. You would never effectively have a complete coverage of a certain geographic area. Because you would constantly be showing up for a lot of things, but you're like, look, I have these super high bids on these exact match terms. But
never ending, never ending.
But every time you sort by clicks, it's going to be the broad match terms are going to be taking over. An exact match term is never going to beat a broad match keyword in total volume. It just doesn't happen. If you have the same
word, on automated bidding, broad
match, yeah, exactly. Thank you. On automated bidding, it's never going to beat it. So it's going to affect your search impression share. It's going to affect the quality of traffic. It's going to affect your click-through rate, your cost per click. All of this stuff is going to be affected. So what does it affect? Basically, it affects everything. It affects everything from quality of traffic to impression share.
So then Brandon's going to go, okay, so you guys are telling me how different things are going to be, but you're not telling me what I should do. So if he wants to show up on a search like video game tournaments, should he do exact match video game tournaments and pure broad match video game tournaments starting out a campaign? I'm going to say no.
Yeah, I would say no, because I would instead,
I would say if you're starting out,
start with at least
broad match, you know, modified.
Yeah. Video. What I would do if this was my client, the first thing I would do is I would do probably video and then put a modified broad on game and tournaments and start there and then narrow down. But I would put a lower bid on video game tournaments modified broad and a higher bid on video game tournaments exact match. That's how I would start.
Exact. Yeah. And if you're not getting the kind of volume you want, there is a reason to do pure broad match, but I would recommend our episode, how to use pure broad match keywords like a pro, because it is like, it's a big deal to use those. But Chris, let's just wrap it up. I would even go as far as video game tournaments, broad match modified. The only thing you modify is the word tournaments. Because if they want a ton of volume and see what searches are out there, let me just put to you this way. I would not be happy with my search terms on video game tournaments. The only word modified is tournaments. I know I would get some bad stuff that I'd have to clean up, but that broad match modified keyword only modifying the word tournaments versus a pure broad match keyword with no modifiers, that is night and day. That is a world apart. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So that one little modifier could make a huge difference, and that's where we'd recommend starting. Broad match modified, exact, bid a little more on exact.
Even the opposite of that, if you put the modified broad on video game and not tournament, a world of difference. Like I would prefer to go with
that. That's such a good point. Because if you want to lock things down, protect yourself, yes, modify the word tournament. Because if you only modify video game, there's so many video game searches where broad match tournament could like mean tons of different things to the search engine. But tournament, you lock that down, there's a lot less searches. So that include the word tournament. Jason reads a question. Dawn from Grand Rapids Michigan. Well, are you playing some kind of game with geography, Chris? Like you group people when they come in from the same state or something like that? What's up with all these back-to-backs?
I absolutely do that.
You freak. You
caught me.
You geography fetish freak.
Louisville.
How many of these questions are we doing, Chris?
There's this one and then two more. So let's wrap it up.
Okay. First off, before I go into anything,
No, don't do that.
I'm going to go to the yellow part. No, I'm kidding. Dang, relax. Relax.
Where's the pin?
Chris, no, careful. No, you can't do that, Chris. You can't get that angry, Chris. You're old. We got to be careful with you.
Read. That's it. I quit. Read the question.
Oh, he's getting mad. Do you have any good advice for medical marketing? I haven't done much with it. That is okay, I guess. I made it rather wrong. Sorry, Don. But do you have any good advice for medical marketing? Number two, what should be done with competitor search terms and keywords in general? Is it smart to just add them all as negatives, or should I be running campaigns or ad groups based on competitor terms, trying to get in front of that traffic when people are searching for competitors? P.S. If Jason doesn't scream yes, either while doing this or after, I will be disappointed. Dude, life is not fair. Life is tough. And if Don can't get over this one, then Don's got a lot of trouble coming. So, Don, you just got to get over it. You'll be fine. Chin up. You got to handle this one.
Yeah.
No. Just on the off chance that Don is a millennial and can't handle something not going his way, I'm going to give him the yes. Don, this one's for you. Yeah. Oh, yes. Oh, it feels good.
I'm going to choke.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So I'll take it from here. So Don, thanks for your question. So number one, do you have any good advice for medical marketing? I think the best answer I could get is what I tell a lot of people. If you are advertising, I'm going to assume that we're talking about medical as in you're trying to reach other medical businesses. I'm not entirely sure, but the thing is, don't assume that you have a ton of traffic out there that's going to be valid traffic. When it comes to medical marketing, whether it's a business-to-business medical marketing or if it's just medical period, when it comes down to it, tons of traffic exists, whether you're doing B2B or B2Consumer. So be very careful about volume, because you can spend a ton of money on unqualified traffic, whether it's one or the other industries you're going after. So that's the biggest thing I have to say is consider being as precise as you can be, because there's a lot of searches for, I need a doctor for the growth on my toe. There's just so much out there that you got to be really careful. Okay. And then number two, I think we've said this before. This is just my general thing. Unless I have specific reasoning to show me otherwise, so you can always test it. But for me, I hate competitor searches. I keep them out of my campaigns. I don't like them. They spend money. And when they get conversions, do you know what I hear from the client? Hey, Chris, we keep getting phone calls about, is this Joe's Auto? And we're not Joe's Auto. I don't know where these are coming from. You know why that's happening? It's because in the search terms, people are searching for Joe Auto phone number, Joe Auto on Main Street.
Because their freaking car is already at Joe's Auto shop in the garage getting worked on, and he's calling to see when it's going to be ready.
Yeah, they don't want to do business with your client. So in the end, I block them just because it's very rarely a good marketing tactic. So Jason, anything to add?
For Don, I think I've given Don all I can give. Yeah. So
he's done. Okay, so let's go to Luke from Dublin, Ireland. There you go. Geography theory out the window, Jason. Absolutely no succinct method to geography questions from here. Luke, by the way, Luke, I listened to your song. Jason, Dublin, Ireland is a wonderful place because it has Luke, who makes music. He is the lead singer of a band, and he sent us a link, a Vimeo link to his music, and it's great. I wish we could put it on the podcast, for people to listen to. We'll have to get permission for him to do that. But he says, my main question to you guys is, do you think a band/artist can use PPC effectively to reach certain goal campaigns? For example, YouTube hits on music videos, or Spotify hits, or even a PPC campaign for concert tickets. Jason, I personally have only done a couple like music clients in the past, so it's not very common. What do you think?
If this is you're gonna love this. If this is 1996, mm-hmm. okay, and Backstreet Boys is out there a little bit, and I am running and managing NSYNC. Okay, just bear with me. Rachel will clean up the editing. We have 10 seconds. Bear with me. How do you think I pay for this house, Chris? I got it. You don't think I've written songs for NSYNC back in the day?
You actually have a poster of NSYNC in your house.
That was a gold record, buddy. You didn't see the bottom
of it. Oh, no, I didn't.
So anyway, if I'm managing NSYNC and it's 1996 and Backstreet Boys is out there and we have a marketing budget, you're going to love this, Chris. We're so similar to Backstreet Boys in terms of who our fans would be, and they're established a little bit more than us and we're brand new and we want people to know about us, and I'm not trying to get a conversion or someone to fill out a lead form on a website, and I just need to spray the internet and let people know that if you know about Backstreet Boys, you need to at least know about NSYNC right now. I think there is some method to that madness there. You can get in front of people, YouTube videos, display, all that kind of stuff for certain demographics and all that. But for like a local band, I don't really know, to be honest. Like I don't see a lot of like someone searching for like rock shows in Dublin this month, or rock shows coming up in Dublin, and then you putting an ad there and paying $3 for that click, and then on that visit, someone buying a $20 ticket.
Yeah.
I don't see it. I would say, but if you had to do something, I guess YouTube is what comes to mind in terms of like getting your videos in front of people, and then people are at least going to see them, and then you can control a low cost per view and then just kind of see what happens. But that would be where my inclination would go, is YouTube. Figure out who your demo is, figure out if they're male or female, figure out what age range they are, figure out what kind of music they like. Run some YouTube ads, in-stream ads on similar music, and get in front of people in a very localized geography. That would be my advice, Chris. I don't know how effectively that would work, because this isn't lead generation branding, this or advertising. This is branding advertising, and you and I would say it's safe to say we don't really do that. We're more into getting people, someone to call, someone to fill out a lead form on that click.
Yeah. So the idea is, basically, go for it. I would suggest that. I don't think concert tickets is a good idea, because then we're talking about cost per acquisition, and it's really tough to do event marketing and get a return that's worth the spin that you've done. I think in the end, most people just don't search like, tell me a random band that I don't know and I'm going to go to their concert. That's just really not going to work. It's not great.
The thing I worry about is tracking it. Like, even if they do buy a ticket in 2 weeks after learning about your music and figuring out what kind of music you do, for the AdWords person, it's untrackable. So, I mean, it seems really hard to track.
I think for this last one, I'll read this because, Jason, I think you probably have more to say. So I'm going to read last question from Sarah from London. And before I do, I want to mention Optio, who is a great online software to help you take your Google Ads to the next level. Alerts over email, alerts in their interface, colors and charts and graphs and all kinds of things to help you get inspired to move beyond the basic. You're only achieving basic. You want to get further? Go to the Optio level. Opteo.com/PSP.
Thanks, Chris. And I want to thank Directive Consulting, directiveconsulting.com. As you have heard in this episode, there's tons of different strategies for tons of different types of businesses and campaigns. And what Directive does great is B2B and enterprise campaigns, SEO, pay-per-click, search advertising, social media, digital PR, landing pages, content. They do it all. If you have an enterprise or B2B campaign, contact Directive Consulting. Get a free custom proposal, directiveconsulting.com.
All right, Sarah from London. Hi, Jason and Chris. Thanks so much for the great podcast. It's really helped me out a lot in the past. My question is, would you recommend using Google Ads to promote a podcast? My company, an online publisher, is launching a new crime podcasts, and I've been asked to set up PPC ads for this. So, Jason, I'm going to spare you the first question. Does it seem like a good idea to do it? Obviously, if you say no, she's still going to be tasked with doing it. So I feel like her question should be, she needs some suggestions on making it work well for her, because she can't just tell her boss no.
One of the themes of today's episode has been Jason is great, Chris is Chris. And in terms of carrying the show, weight on the shoulders, bringing home the bacon, doing extra work for the show, hitting up the forum, and some other things. He's actually mad today, so we're going to have to fix this after the show. It's all for the show, buddy. Uh-huh. Take it easy.
No, I'm fine.
Google, supercharge your podcast growth by using Google AdWords. It's an article on Buzzsprout that I wrote, and we both have a byline on there, and I don't resent it to this day. And I kind of explained some different strategies for advertising your podcast on Google Ads. And we go into all the different things. I mean, there's strategies for search. There's strategies for display. There's strategies for YouTube. And I think the biggest thing for me is, you said it with your own words, Sarah, you guys are doing a new crime podcast. So the deal with podcasts are, they're so segmented that in terms of giving you advice, that article kind of goes over different channels, the way you can use them. But the biggest thing I would focus on is the word crime, and making sure you're getting in front of people that are actually interested in crime podcasts. Because for me, I love podcasts. I'm a podcast super user. But you know what I never listen to? Crime podcast. So you could do the wrong kind of targeting, hit me all day with your ads, I'll never do anything for you. So you got to get people that are into crime podcasts. How do you do that? Demographics? How do you do that? Different kinds of keywords? Maybe definitely do not target the keyword new podcast. Maybe target the keyword new crime podcast. Probably a lot of searches for that. Or best crime podcast or crime podcast. And you target America? There's tons and tons of searches for that. So start off with a really low bid. 11 cents, maybe. Something really small, don't you think, Chris?
Oh, yeah.
Really small. Maybe you try some display advertising with those kind of keyword contextual. See if you can find some great placements. But my thinking would be, get in front of people that are definitely into crime podcast. And then my other thinking would be, there's so much volume out there. Try to figure out how to get that low cost per click and effectively get in front of tons and tons of people for a small budget or whatever budget you have. So I'd be laser focused on people who are into crime podcasts, and then laser focused on getting the most quality impression bang for my buck through low bids and using the super high volume out there to my advantage.
Okay, that's it. I think that's an excellent answer. All right, Jason, we're going to jump over to our special Patreon show where we're going to answer two questions from listeners who ask about the management of PPC and reporting and some other in-depth stuff. So join us there. $2 a month if you're interested. PaidSearchPodcast.com. Look for the link. Otherwise, we'll catch you guys next week.
Hey, Chris. I love you.